With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. It's time for our match preview. Newcastle head down to Watford this weekend in need of three crucial points. As usual, I'm joined by John Gibson. And John, it's that time of the podcast where I ask you, as I do every week, just how important is this game for Newcastle United?
And we always say it's a six-pointer, must win, and then they don't. But I mean, as long as Newcastle are where they are on the table, and the longer they go without a win, the next game is absolutely ginormous. And it really is, because what we don't want to end up is cut adrift in a bottom three, which almost picks itself and says, has doomed written all over it. So the sooner we get off the mark, the better. And in theory, you would think a club like Watford, with all respect to Watford, the size of the club, I mean, in comparison to Newcastle United, the size of fan volume, etc., etc., this ought to be one of the matches. And the fact that they're a seesaw club, they bounce up and down between the Premier League and the Championship. This is the sort of club where you don't go and lose. You've got to get something, because if you don't, what do you do with Manchester United, Liverpool, Man City, etc., etc.? So it is absolutely massive. With Wolves to follow, the two are huge, because Wolves have tapered off from the Wolves we knew. So these two are unbelievable.
Yeah, these are the games that you have to be winning if you're in Newcastle United, looking just for survival, which unfortunately is Mike Ashley's Newcastle United. Stoke beat Watford in the Cup in midweek. They did make 11 changes, did Watford, so they clearly weren't taking it all that seriously.
Yeah, not at all.
They have some good players, though. Some players which I think Newcastle United fans would welcome into their side.
Yep.
We were just talking there off mic about Saar, who seems to be Watford's version of Alan St. Maximum. He loves running at teams.
Good player.
And he seems to get a few more goals than St. Maximum as well.
Yeah. I mean, we did say until last weekend that the only thing lacking in St. Maximum's game, really, apart from consistency sometimes, is he doesn't score enough goals. Saar certainly does. And there's plenty reason to fear if we want to do that. I mean, what you find amazing when you think of the size of the Watford club compared with us, and they come out of non-league football, they had the wonderful Elton John years, but outside of that, they had their position in the pecking order of English football. But Watford have got 6 points, we've got two. Watford have got two wins, and we've got none. Watford's 11th in the table, and we're 18th. It's crazy, isn't it? We look the poor man's side, and Watford look, and I know it is very, very early doors, and things can change enormously, and things can change, funnily enough, more likely for Watford getting dragged down to it and fighting the bottom three than for Newcastle bombing up to 10th or so on the table, because at the moment, with our depression, we can't see that too much.
I've got some stats for you, John. I don't know how big of a fan you are of stats. In fact, I seem to remember you last season saying that you don't care for them too much. I'm going to read these out anyway. And this is the Premier League record against Watford. So Watford have won 5 out of 12 games. Newcastle have won 3 out of those 12. 16 goals for Watford, 1 clean sheet. 12 goals for Newcastle and 2 clean sheets. Now, Newcastle have won just 1 of their past 9 away league games at Vicarage Road. They've lost 4, drawn 4. And they've never won a top-flight match at Vicarage Road. Drawn 5, lost 5. So, I think your response might be something along the lines, well, records are there to be broken.
More or less. I mean, it is frightening, and in as much as it's awful against a club of Watford size. But I honestly don't think stats like that decide what happens on Saturday. I think Saar decides what happens on Saturday. Steve Bruce decides what happens on Saturday. Not the fact half the players going down it. No, 9/10 of the players going down there will have no idea of those stats whatsoever. They, if we'd won every time we went to Watford, they would hardly know that. So I don't think it's going to prey on their minds of stats at all. It does tell you a certain failure in Newcastle's situation, but I'm much more concerned about what Steve Bruce is going to do, what the tactics are going to be, and how we contain Saw, how we contain the pace of Emmanuel Dennis up front, alongside Josh King, etc., etc. I'm much more bothered about today than yesterday.
I mean, you look at how Newcastle played against Leeds and the defences were very open. They were helped by the fact Leeds were just as open as the back.
Correct, yes.
And then you look at how Watford did against Norwich. And again, it was an attacking sort of game. But towards the end, Norwich's open defence got punished by Josh King. They took advantage of the holes in the defence. And I do worry what happens if Newcastle's defence is as open and as leaky as it has been already this season, as it was against Leeds. Will the likes of Saw, King, Dennis take advantage of it and hand Newcastle what would be a devastating defeat?
It would be devastating, and that's a great possibility, because Newcastle defence staggers me, because it is so poor. 12 goals in 5 games, it's horrendous. And we've seen him seem incapable of shutting the door. With all the experience that there is available to us in the back, we know there's a lack of pace, but you can organise round that if you're clever. Two of the greatest defenders of a bygone age were Bobby Moore when England were winning the World Cup and Bob Moncur when Newcastle were winning a European trophy. And both of them had two paces. One was slow and one was full stop. But they had good soccer brains, and the people were put alongside them that could provide some legs to cover their situation. We don't have that. We whether we play a flat four or whether we play a five with three narrow in the middle, we don't seem capable of blocking out any sort of side. So we're terrified every game because of the defence. And you would think it is easier to coach negatively, if that's what you want to say, defensively, than it is to coach creatively and create chances. So you would think, with Bruce's background, we would not leak goals. But we do, and that will always be a worry. And in the Premier League, every side has a Saw or a Emmanuel Dennis.
Do you see them going to four at the back? They switched it up against Leeds and they looked better, Hayden, being pushed in that midfield.
They did.
We know Steve Bruce is a big lover of that five at the back. He's tried to stick to it. And obviously, it hasn't worked defensively, because every time the ball goes over the top of the two wing backs, if it is Murphy and Ritchie, they get caught out. Manquillo's offered a bit more of a defensive balance to that side, which I like, and I think he'd be suited to playing four at the back. But if you do, John, see them going four, who drops out?
Doesn't really matter who drops out of the central of the defence, because if you look at it man for man individually, whether you look at Fernandes or whether you look at Shaw, whether you look at Lascelles, whether you look at Hayden and Kraft, who get put in there when they're not central defenders, the same outcome at the end of the day seems to happen. I'm certain it would be Lascelles and someone else from the point of view of the manager. But Lascelles is very close to deserving to be dropped. I mean, he is struggling and he has gone backwards, and he gets exposed, and when he gets exposed, he can panic. So it is very difficult. I wish Dummett was fit, and he would be one of the two in a two, because he can defend. We don't defend well. Whether it's players getting old and therefore they're getting rusty and their legs are eroding of pace, but it's almost like it doesn't matter who we're put in there. Certainly if you go to a four, he would play two sitting midfielders to sort of support from in front, if you like, in Hayden and the another, and let Willock get forward. It doesn't seem to matter what personnel we pick tactically, we cannot close the back door.
Yeah, it is worrying, and we're going to have to see that defence definitely tighten up with Newcastle. They're going to make this a bit more of a comfortable survival scrap. I'm just wondering, in terms of the forward line, now we saw Joe Linton out wide, and a lot of people were very impressed with what he did. We saw St Maximin in that central role, and he was kind of given a bit of a freedom to roam, and obviously it paid off with a great goal, and he was a threat all night. Would you stick with that against Watford?
I think they will stick with it. And certainly, I think some maximum played up there is a false nine or whatever you want to call it, and just go and play, is our greatest hope, without a shadow of doubt, especially with Callum Wilson out, as he still is. We depend so much on St Maximum. But I think he revels in that. He likes to be the top dog. He loves the fans to think he's... You know, I often think if he got transferred to a so-called big club, meaning the Champions League side, whether that was Liverpool, Man City, whether it was Spurs, he would just be another. He would be one of the good players in that side. Here, he is top dog. Even when Wilson's fit, he's top dog on the eye to watch. And I think he rather likes that. And I think he looks at it and he thinks, yes, eventually, if Newcastle don't make any progress, I will move to one of these clubs. But I think he rather likes being the top dog and adored by the fans and put on a pencil and say, our only hope is. And it is. I mean, at the moment, when you looked at the last Newcastle game, we have a nickname with him, that Sam Maximum's Plan A. As far as I'm concerned, he's Plan A, Plan B and Plan C. Because that he carries the only hope. I mean, can you imagine him getting injured at the same time as Wilson and let us go from there? And he will continue with Joe Linton because he's a Joe Linton fan. I'm not a fan of Joe Linton's stats, as you coming back to stats. And I haven't been a stats man, but 6 goals in 91 games is a stats that you can't ignore. He is unquestionably better played wide than played straight through the middle. And he has contributed by his standards, no question. And I think he will continue. I don't think we'll get any changes offensively to the team. And I'm not certain we need any at this stage that would better the side.
Are there any?
Well, there's not. There's just personnel where you could play Dwight Gayle, etc., etc. You could play Murphy as a winger rather than a wing back, an out-and-out winger, etc. But there's not, and there's not a lot that you would guarantee would improve the side. So I think he would go with what he went. A lot of people might want Dwight Gayle in for Joe Linton, but I think there's absolutely no chance, purely on the fact that he might score. But I don't think there's any chance of that happening. The main concern is going to be the back. And of course, Darlow will play. Woodman's probably not fit, but I think Darlow justified his selection. Yes, you wonder when the guy jumped over the ball whether the keeper could have done better on the Leeds goal. But I think he did well, Darlow, and fine and justified being put back on the side.
A few crucial saves against Leeds, which really did help Newcastle hold on to that point. Just a bit of housekeeping. We've unveiled the results to the Big Boost survey. Nearly 10,000 of you guys filled it in. We have done that in a podcast, which will be below this one on the podcast channel. You'll see it, the Big Boost survey results. It was myself and Kieran Kelly. We went through that, and it's also on chroniclelive.co.uk. You can see the kind of the written version of it, which goes in depth into the results. Also, just to please remember to like and subscribe to this one. And we have a Joe Harvey documentary coming out next week as well, documenting his life and career at Newcastle United, speaking to the likes of Bob Moncur, Frank Clark, and of course, John Gibson as well, provided some wonderful insight into Joe Harvey, Newcastle's greatest ever servant. So watch out for that one. How much pressure, John, is Steve Bruce under if he doesn't win this game?
Huge pressure from the fans, no pressure from the owner. That's the simple answer. And I think that infuriates
that does not help the situation. I think we've mentioned before, there's no one pushing Steve Bruce to better himself. Only he's the man pushing.
Correct. So, there's no one in the club sort of pushing him to do better or saying, listen, pal, get your finger out. If you don't do better, you'll be in the dole queue next week.
And I wonder if that frustrates him as well, because I am a believer that in any way of life, you need someone to be pushing you. I remember speaking to Yedlin, obviously, before he left the club, and there was a time when he was just right back, no matter what, because we didn't have a right back before Quiller came in. And he said, the one thing I want is competition. I want someone to come in and push me for that place. And
I personally, and it's only a personal opinion, I don't think Steve Bruce wants that. I think Steve Bruce is thrilled to bits that he hasn't got a chairman who's rattling on his door every day and saying, listen, pal, you know, he wouldn't want an Abramovich who changes managers after they've won the title. I don't think Steve Bruce would want that. I think this suits him fine. I think he needs that, but I don't think he wants that. And really, that is what is wrong with Newcastle. The whole place is stagnating. The players are stagnating because they know it can't be changed till January. If you're one of the back guys, you can be leaking goals 12 in 5 games and you're still in the first team squad automatically because there's nobody else. So the players aren't getting pushed. There's nobody pushing Wilson because we haven't got a centre forward. We haven't got a midfielder with legs. So the guys that are around there, you can pick the squad, if not the team, every simple week, and it's the same with the manager. And is it the same with the coaches? There's nobody at all at the club that's rattling cages, and the only one that can really do that and really spark the side would be Ashley if he cared enough to do it, and he doesn't. And that's what's frightening, because the definition of stagnating is what Newcastle United are. And as you rightly say, if people aren't getting pushed, it is comfortable to... I mean, if Newcastle win at Watford, if they draw at Watford or they lose at Watford, next week, Monday to Friday, it'll be exactly the same as this week's been. And that is wrong. Yes, the pressure from fans will be cranked up because they will be absolutely fed up to the back teeth. The press, with the limited access to the manager that the press now have because it's controlled, will be pushing. But it's another away game. You're not facing a home crowd next week. They're on the road again to Wolves. And that is my concern, that we'll wake up close on Christmas and still be in the bottom three. And then you begin to worry. But you begin to worry early and you begin to right wrongs early.
You're not already worried.
Sorry?
Are you not already worried?
I am, but it doesn't make... And I tell you what, there's 50,000 Geordies worried. And the dreadful thing is, Andrew, that I think we're all getting to the stage where we'll not stop worrying, but we'll be resigned. We'll be resigned to the fact...
That's the worst thing about it, isn't it?
That's fatal. Once that happens, that's fatal. And the tragedy is, the only guy that can change it is Ashley, if he decided to jolly up everyone or get rid of the manager. And if it was a manager with huge pride or huge dignity or very, very, very thin-skinned who would react to fans' criticism and take to his toes or resign or get out. And none of us believe that Steve Bruce will do that.
Now, one of the questions about team selection will be that of Joe Willock. We'll find out tomorrow, that's Friday, in Steve Bruce's press conference, just what the picture of Joe Willock with a young fan meant. He had
a moon boot on.
Yes, he did. I'm hoping it was just some really bad fashion statements.
However, I don't think it was. Two moon boots on, wouldn't he?
Well, we know what footballers are like these days. Yes, that's me looking out positively. Yeah, that he's just made a really bad choice with his footwear, but it did look like a medical sort of boot, doesn't it? I'm sure you can go on Twitter, you can find the image, and obviously that'll be a question asked of Steve Bruce on Friday morning. I mean, that would be a huge blow. I know he's not hit the heights of last season. He's not hit the heights of...
You're right, Andrew. Willock is in a very interesting case this year. And that puts a worry. There's absolutely no question of that. It was like when we saw the photograph of Fraser coming back from Scotland with a moon boot on. We must have all known, although we adored Willock and we saw the potential of Willock when he scored all those goals in the second half of last season, and then you resign him permanently. You know, because he's a midfielder, that he's not going to continue that sort of goal-scoring form. In goal-scoring alone, there's going to be a dip. Not a complete dry-up, but a dip. That is absolutely inevitable. But what is equally worrying now is that his form hasn't been great. Forget the lack of goals since he returned. He's looked... I think he's paying for a lack of pre-season, where he didn't get the miles under his belt with minutes on the field at Arsenal. And I don't think he's come down here razor sharp. I think he's come, you know, more sluggish. And his body language in his face... I mean, last season when he was scoring goals, and I know it's easy, he was the most wonderful young man facially, wasn't he? Beaming smile all the time, looked as if there wasn't a care in the world. Isn't the world a wonderful place? And he seems to have more concern this year, whether it's his... I mean, I'm praying that it's not that he's come and thought, what the devil am I doing here, the way this team played? This isn't the side I recognised from the end of last season. This is going to be a flog. Sees what it's like in the dressing room, sees the indifference or the down through no other signings, and he's a bit more morbid. I'm hoping, against hope, it isn't just that. It's him wanting to reach the huge high standards that he had last season. But he is a little concerned to me at the moment, both in terms of fitness. I think he's not as sharp as he was. And in terms of mood, the last thing I want is Joe Willock to be looking at life and thinking, crikey Moses, have I done the right thing here? And he would have every right to do that, by the way, but that would be of no help to us and no help to him.
Yeah, fingers crossed it's nothing serious and he manages to partake this weekend. We'll get to your favourite part of the show then, John, and it is to predict the result this Saturday. What are you going for?
Well, the last thing I want is Moussa Sissoko or Danny Rose.
I forgot about those two.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to come back to bite me, isn't it, on Saturday night?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, two guys who weren't popular at all with the two normie. Sissoko, we never took to. Fans never took to. And off he went to Spurs and earned his Spurs. And we were very, after a very good start, when he had a goal-scoring start against Chelsea. Danny Rose, I thought, looked shot when he was at Newcastle from the player at Spurs that played with England. All we need is them to come back. The other two ex-Magpies aren't in the starting lineup. Dan Gosling and Rob Elliott's there. But they're not in the starting lineup. But all we would need is Sissoko or Rose to tuck Newcastle up on Saturday. It's much more likely to be Saar or Emmanuel Dennis or Josh King, who was the big mate of Wilson and Fraser at Bournemouth,
linked
of course.
Linked with Newcastle
before he went off.
You just reminded me there of Sissoko. And I tell you what, if he does get the ball and he does that, you know, that lung bust and run he manages to do every so often, then your Newcastle United midfield and defence could just be torn apart, because he has got it in him. It's just the mindset of Sissoko sometimes is lacking, isn't it? He doesn't always step up to the plate. But I tell you what, if he's getting a bit of a grief from the away end, he might just
that might just provoke him. I mean, I can see any result possible there. I can see us losing because we've all said why. When we've talked about all their players in Newcastle's back three, I can see us getting a draw because we just did that with Leeds. And I can see his win, but I can only see his win on the law of averages and the fact that Watford, law of averages says Newcastle must win at some stage. It doesn't mean you're not going to go down. It just means that a win comes at some stage. So I can see that as well. Watford, 6 points and they're 11th or 18th. But let's not kid ourselves, with all the good players they've got, they are still a side that I believe at the end of the season will either survive or go down. They will be in a relegation fight. They're not good as all that. They beat Villa on the opening day. They've struggled like heck since. And then in a crucial, crucial match against Norwich, they beat them. But Norwich has lost 5 out of 5. So let's not make
Watford. But it's important, Watford, isn't it, that kind of... I know if all Newcastle drew 1-1 against Leeds, and it was a decent enough performance to win against Norwich, despite how bad they are, it's about what that does within the camp. I think within the Newcastle United camp, while the mood will be better than it was after the Manchester United game, they'll be under no illusions about how much pressure there is to win on Saturday. Whereas I think within the Watford camp, and this is just me kind of guessing really because I've got no insight, but I would imagine the mood's a little bit better. Got dumped out of the cup, but there were 11 changes, so there weren't none of the first team.
Yeah, no.
They come on the back of a 3-1 win. You know, they'll be happy because I think they're also punching above what they probably expected.
Correct.
As well. So it's all these little elements playing in, whereas Newcastle going into this game, knowing the pressure on Steve Bruce, knowing the pressure on themselves because they need a win. And can Newcastle handle that?
Well, they've got to handle it at some stage. If Newcastle don't beat Watford, and it's a distinct possibility, but if they don't beat Watford, who are they going to beat? They then go to Wolves, who are poor this season, and that is exactly the same type of game as Watford's going to be. Then you're going to get the big hitters coming at home. So, you know, where did Newcastle win up? We've just got to look at when they play Norwich and say that's when they're going to win. You know, it's some stage they've got to win, and really, I think they've got to win at least one of the next two.
I'd say they've got to come back with 4 points.
Win one of the next two and not lose the other one, which is the 4 points you're talking about. But we can't afford to lose to Watford and lose to Wolves. That would be absolutely horrendous. And you've just got to believe that Newcastle flatter the deceived, don't they? You pointed it out against Leeds, and you can do it against Southampton. In every game they've played, they've had a small spell where hopes have risen. They've said, oh, they knocked the ball about a bit. They didn't look at all bad. This is the famous Steve Bruce. There's a lot of positives to take out of that game. Yes, between the 56th and the 59th minute, we looked good. And end of the day, we lost. We're unable to sustain it for 90 minutes, and we're going to have to do that. So therefore, what are we going to do at Watford? I don't know why people say a draw is sitting on the fence, because it's as difficult to forecast as anything else. I don't think a draw is sitting on a fence at all. I think it's a draw, and it's 1 point. The same as a defeat, and a win's a win. I think I'm going to take a draw, because there's no way I'm going to say a defeat, because I'm sick to death of forecasting Newcastle defeats and then being right. And it's pushing me luck a bit to take a win, so I think they'll draw.
I don't know what I've added to my tea, but I'm going to go for a win.
Well, I think that's good, because we can't even contemplate a defeat here. We cannot contemplate a defeat to Watford.
I think the weather's going to be nice on Saturday. It's going to be backed by a full away end. It's just that I'm just trying to pick out all the positives and hoping it can channel into whatever Newcastle United do in that dressing room and come out. We don't want a Daryl Jan Matt situation where walls are being punched and whatever. That was against Watford, wasn't it? If I'm not mistaken, when he went off and he ended up breaking his hand and what have you. We want a nice positive result, and I'm going to go for a win. Correct me next week.
Isn't it sad? If you take two steps away from it, Andrew, it's Newcastle v Watford.
Yeah.
Watford that were non-league. Watford that had this wonderful spell under Elton John, but apart from that, are what they are. They're a team that get promoted out the Championship and then get relegated back to the Championship. That's what they are. And a club of this size with 50,000 Geordie fans in the history of winning the Cup six times in the league, you know, we are worried about going to Watford. Does that not tell you where we are at the moment under this owner?
Well, to finish on the similar negative note, you were saying there that, you know, if Newcastle lose against Watford, where does that leave when they're obviously, imagine if they lose both games, Watford and Wolves. Even then, I just can't see Mike Ashley making that decision the decision that most chairmen or owners would have made many, many, many months ago.
Of course,
and that's the frustrating thing, that, you know, nobody wants to see anyone lose their job. I would love Steve Bruce to turn this around, and in 6 months we're talking about Newcastle in the top seven and in an FA Cup, you know, final, whatever. It's not going to happen, but we would all love that, because we want to see Newcastle United do well. I don't see that happening, and I think we're just going to keep going round in this circle, which isn't good for fans. It's not good for us. It's not good for Steve Bruce. It's not good for anybody, simply because Mike Ashley will not make the decision, the rational decision, when the time is right, if we get to that stage, which most chairmen would have made back when Newcastle got beat off Brighton.
Well, I mean, he's already got one foot out the door, hasn't he? So he's totally disinterested with what's in-house because he's leaving. The worry is, by the time he actually does leave, where will we be? That is our concern. It's not his concern. He knows the mess up at St James's Park is not just to be seen in an hour and a half of football. Behind the scenes, horrendous. But as far as he's concerned, that's somebody else's mess to put right when they come in. But, you know, look at Derby County. You get to a situation where, you know, they were a huge club. You get run down because the owner can't sell, and the mess that's left behind for any new people to come is absolutely impossible. Anyway, let's not get too depressed about that. Newcastle not to lose at Watford. Positive, positive. Draw from me, win from you. The job's a good one. There's some points on the bench anyway. Because I don't want to go to Wolves, as bad as Wolves are, with another defeat behind us. I don't think we'll lose, but I'll be happier at 5 o'clock on Saturday when that's proved to be right.
Especially with my predictions right.
Yeah, I'm all for that one being right.
Well, guys, thank you for tuning in to the Everything is Black and White podcast. Please remember to like and subscribe. And just a quick note again that we have the Big Bruce survey results, which will be the episode below this one in your podcast platform. And we also have a special Joe Harvey documentary released next week, all about Joe Harvey's life and career at Newcastle United. Please enjoy the rest of your week.